This week's episode of Hype is brought to you by Audible.com. Audible is the leading provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/hype. Welcome to Hype Episode 3, a little longer of a wait than we had planned, but I was away last week, I guess you could say, and then Friday came around and I was still recovering from my vacation, so it didn't work out, but Joshua, Selena, and Andrewa are all here this week.
You changed your name?
Cover, yes. I wanted
an
A at the end, just like you guys have. I'm Gels, as they say in the internet community.
Hey, Andrew has a boy's name Jelly. In Italy, so.
Is it? Well, it's also a female name, Andrea, like our own Andrea Salazar.
Yeah, exactly.
It is.
Shout out.
Hey, girl. Anyway. This is a new podcast on Hypeable where we discuss – it's very news-focused because there's a lot of news that happens in the fandom world. And as everybody knows, we publish a lot of stories on Hypeable all day, every day. And this show really serves as a way to cover as many of the biggest stories as possible so we can really have one flagship show on the site. We can say this is our main podcast – that represents the site on a whole, and in the future we're going to have different staff writers on, we're going to have different people on, maybe we'll have interviews, I don't know, the sky's the limit with Hype.
Possibilities are endless, yes.
Yeah, and I have to say, the show's been going really well so far. I think we have a nice group.
Yep.
I agree. We've only had 2 episodes so far, but
no, but it does feel good. They've both been good, yeah.
And I even elbowed my way in.
Yeah.
No. Well done.
Yep.
I don't know how either.
Or
I thought you were Tariq. Wait, this is Josh? I'm so confused. Speaking of Tariq, he's actually in Europe this month. So
specifically in Paris. Man. Makes him look awesome.
Yeah.
We really would have liked to have him on so we could have podcasted from 3 different countries at once. But,
Let's talk about – we're going to focus on 3 big stories this episode in our Hot on Hypeable segment. This segment is where we focus on the biggest stories. And actually, our first one is the most recent, very, very interesting thing that happened on Wednesday. A Veronica Mars movie Kickstarter was launched on this website called Kickstarter by Kristen Bell and what's the other guy's name, Selena?
Rob Thomas.
What is his association? Is he the creator, the writer?
Showrunner, right?
Showrunner?
Yeah.
Okay. So I've never seen the show. Can you tell?
Yeah.
So yesterday, they started the Kickstarter. They said, we have struck up a deal with Warner Brothers. If the fans can raise $2 million in 30 days, they will put up the rest of the money to make a Veronica Mars movie happen. They have been resisting it for years since the television show ended because they didn't think there would be enough demand. Well, they launched this Kickstarter, and 10.5 hours later, they raised the $2 million.
That's insane.
No, that's so power to the fans.
Truly.
I was impressed.
This is amazing.
Really impressed.
Truly.
You know,
I think it ended in 2007. Is that when the show ended?
I think so. See, can I just right now say how happy this makes me? I'm a Veronica Mars. I can't even gather my thoughts. I'm too excited. I am a huge Veronica Mars fan. It's one of my absolute favorite shows. The first 2 seasons are some of the best seasons of television of all time. Let's not talk about season 3. That doesn't count. but seriously, it is such a good show. And you know what is so incredible about this? This is one of those returns that we never thought would happen. Like, people would always say, oh yeah, Veronica Mars movie would be great. But come on, the actors have moved on. The writers have moved on. The fans have moved on. Let's just forget it. You look at this happening, and you look at Arrested Development happening after so many years. You look at Boy Meets World getting a spinoff, 10 years later? 20? Like, a ridiculous amount of years later. You just think, this is the time that we're entering where things like completely impossible ideas like a Veronica Mars movie, like potentially, I don't know, a second Firefly movie or like a Merlin modern day spin-off reincarnation thing or whatever you can imagine is actually a possibility, even though so much time has passed. And I just think that's just so cool. I love it.
Yeah, I don't think there's been a better time to be a fan of anything. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because you can actually, it seems like you can make a difference right now, you know?
Yes. So I'm very proud to say I donated $10. I will be getting a copy of the script.
I was the one $10,000 donator. So I'll be the waiter.
Well, yeah, okay.
I'll be the waiter in the, I'll say, one line.
And despite it hitting that goal, it's still growing. It's now at currently
2.7. Is that it?
Yep, $2.7 million.
It's because people want the rewards, but
right.
That's so annoying to me because I might have donated more, but I couldn't because you don't get any of the rewards except for the PDF of the script if you're outside the U.S. So I was like, screw that.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
That's what really made this a success, right? It's A, the fact that, oh my God, Veronica Mars is coming back. But then B, by donating, you get all these benefits. Like Selena said, you get a PDF of the script the day that the movie's released if you donate $10. But then the prizes just go up from there. When you pledge 25 or more, you will be sent a limited edition Veronica Mars the movie t-shirt available only to Kickstarter backers. In addition to the script. So every level higher that you go, you get the prizes below it, I believe, in addition to what you're adding on. So I mean, like, you pledge $25 for a t-shirt, $25, you can go to some stores and pay $25 for a t-shirt, and it does not come with a brand new movie that you really want to see made as well. It's just remarkable.
Yeah, I thought like the $50 pledge seemed the best because like you get a DVD, you know, you get the t-shirt, you get like all that stuff. And I mean, you can't buy all that stuff for $50. You know what I mean? It's just impossible.
Yeah.
And you know what's so great about this is that this really came out of nowhere. I mean, I'm kind of going back to my earlier point, but like there was no like indication that this was coming.
No.
And then suddenly Kristen Bell is just like, oh yeah, lol, movie.
Well, she started tweeting about it like a few days ago. Like she said, you know, something, she had hinted at it a few days ago because one of our new viral writers were like, hey, maybe I should write something about this. So I think she had talked about it Monday or Friday before.
But it just feels like it happened so
fast. Felt like it happened like, well, it wasn't even overnight. I mean, I couldn't even believe, you know, 10.5 hours.
Yeah. How high is it going to go at this point? Could it hit 10 million?
I think it has to slow down a bit. I mean, there's only so many fans, you know, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday. But, you know, like you said, once people see it hit that mark, they're probably going to, you know, they're going to die. They're bring it back a little bit, you know.
But you have to remember, there's still all these benefits that you can get in on.
Yeah,
so,
but a lot of them have, like, there's only a certain amount left, or, you know, there's
limited amounts. Yeah, and I think the people that are diehard enough to want those benefits are the ones that would have gone out and donated first.
Earlier, you know?
So, and at this point, the movie's happening, so there's no, it's not like you're thinking, oh, well, if I don't donate, we might not get the movie. This is purely a get the rewards kind of thing at this point, right?
Exactly.
True.
Yeah, I mean, the incentive to, if I was a fan of the show, would be to get the show or the movie made. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
The only reason it might jump up again is if they open it internationally.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not going to be a huge fan base outside of the U.S. Well, maybe there will be, but it is going to be primarily within the U.S., I would assume. But there will be those fans, like maybe myself, who might consider pledging a bit more for the prizes if it means I could actually get them. I don't think it'll hit 10 million, though. I think it'll be 3 point something.
Now, to play devil's advocate, did Warner Brothers really need to do this? I mean, it's insane that not only are you getting this movie, you know, you're paying for the movie to happen, and then you're going to pay for it again to go see it in a theater. I mean, it just seems a bit ridiculous to me.
Maybe this was just a way to, I mean, first of all, any kind of money that they can get out of fans, they're going to take the opportunity to get that money. But I also think maybe it was a thing of seeing how much interest there actually was in doing this. Because it has been 6 years since the show ended. The fandom has died down significantly. And it's, you have to remember as well, it's not a sci-fi show, so it's cult in a very different way than a lot of other similar shows like Firefly and Buffy and all those are. And then also, I mean, I am sure that I don't know. I don't have a last point.
I think a lot of studios are probably cynical about their, you know, they just don't think that the fans are still there. You know, they just don't believe that there's a reason to do this stuff. And I think that they were like, hey, the actors were like, hey, maybe we can show them that there is interest in this. And I think it worked, you know, and we mentioned this yesterday, but it's kind of a double-edged sword. You know, Andrew, you're right. You know, these companies don't need the money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if you can get, I think fans are willing to do, you know, pay twice basically because they want to see, you know, the rest of their series play out, you know?
Right.
And you know, another thing it could be, I remembered my point from before, sorry, is this money might not technically be for the studio. It might be for the writers and the producers to set it up and write the script and all of that, because they might approach the studio, say, look, we have this idea for a Veronica Mars movie. Will you pay us to pen a script? And they'll be like, no. And then they'll be like, okay, well, if we find the money elsewhere, would you be willing to do the movie? And that's how it was all set up, you know?
Yeah, and that could be that's the stipulation, you know?
It'll be interesting to see what they do in the future. Will they look at other projects now?
I hope so. Firefly.
And if they keep doing this thing where they ask fans to basically pay for the movie to happen, then I think that's when they get really greedy. I understand the point about gauging interest. But now that we've seen how well this has been received, I mean, obvious next steps would be Buffy, Gilmore Girls. Those seem to be the two loudest requests that I've heard.
And Firefly.
And Firefly,
but
yeah.
You know what? Yes. You know what I also thought is that by donating, by asking fans to donate, even me who only donated like $10, which isn't that much, it makes them feel like they own the movie. You know, it makes them feel committed to the movie. So you can, by fans asking them to donate, you can pretty much lock them in for buying a cinema ticket. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty smart.
That's a good point. It's a little investment. Yeah. Like a little pre-order.
Exactly. Yeah. That's pretty much what it is. Like, oh, you all made this movie happen, so it's yours. Come see it.
Yeah.
No, I think I can definitely see it. You know, we talked about this yesterday, but I can definitely see it turning into a negative thing where studios are just taking advantage of, you know, fans once they realize, hey, we can get $5 million, you know, for just putting this up, you know.
Right.
I think that this first idea is probably not going to have that problem. But like you said, I think we'll run into that problem in the future, you know.
We asked on Twitter this morning, what TV shows would you like to see kickstarted into a movie or a renewal? We asked this on our Twitter account, twitter.com/hypeable, for today's podcast. We got some interesting responses. Charmed, Alice Almond, sounds delicious, says Charmed and The Nanny, two of the first TV shows I ever fell in love with.
The Nanny.
And Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Pablo.
Oh.
Wrote Pushing Daisies because it was so much fun, or Jericho because I rewatch it religiously once a year and it always amazes me.
Pushing Daisies, that would be good.
Yeah, that's another fan favorite one. Yeah.
Did anyone watch Terra Nova, this Fox show last year?
Yes, I did.
I loved
it. I wouldn't bring that
back.
No.
People like, I always get, you know, made fun of because I liked it, but they had like 11 million viewers each week, and I was just surprised to see it go. But Fox doesn't like sci-fi, so.
Weren't there rumors of Netflix bringing that back?
Yeah. Netflix was just gonna bring it back. Apparently, it was really expensive to make, but Steven Spielberg was producing it. I mean, it was a big, you know, it was a pretty big deal. I think it was just too expensive. They filmed it in Australia. A lot of the, I think they did a lot of, you know, set building and stuff like that.
Back to the tweets. Mercedes says, I would want Castle to have a movie, not now, but in a few years when they end it. Best thing would be a Castle Bones crossover. Janet is looking more recently. She said, I would love to see this happen for Fringe and Buffy, but only if Joss and the original cast from the show are involved.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem. You're not going to get these guys like that to come back to these shows. I mean, like Joss, his time is worth billions.
I think Joss would do it for Firefly. He would. I think he would.
But at this point with his schedule, yeah.
Impossible.
Yeah.
Well, he said that he wanted to. He just says, at some point when I have a break in my schedule, I would love to go back. So I could imagine if they wanted to do it for Firefly, they would say, okay, well, let's schedule this in for 2015 or 2016 or whenever he's done with Avengers and that other thing,
in
S.H.I.E.L.D.
2054.
Yeah, right, exactly. Right. Will he ever be done with Avengers?
Yeah, I mean, there's no way. I mean, he might be an exception because he, you know, he's very fan-centric. So I think he might, you know, be the exception. But
mm-hmm. then you have to consider, like, these guys for Gilmore or for Veronica Mars, they're saying they're going to shoot in June and July. So
yeah.
It potentially only takes 2 months. Now, if you're Joss, you're very hands-on, so it would probably take more time. But this may not be as time-consuming as we think, especially if it's a low-budget sort of thing, which appears to be what Veronica Mars is going to be. Because, let's look at how many people actually donated to the Kickstarter. It's like 35,000?
45,000.
It's currently at
$45,000. Holy crap, some people paid a lot.
Well, that's good.
Oh, yeah, I averaged it out. It was like $69 a person when I averaged it out last night.
Oh, my God.
That is good, but if let's say 100,000 people go and see this movie, is that a big deal? Is that going to look good on box office tallies? I don't think so.
Well, maybe that's why they want the money, because they're sort of doing that contingency thing. Because how many, like, look at Firefly. That did okay in the Serenity did okay in the cinema, but it just about broke even, right? So they're probably thinking, well, if this breaks even, at least we'll have made some money.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, this will help quell the box office blow.
Because it is a gamble, and it is a fan service. I mean, we are talking about how networks are really greedy, but honestly, networks do need to make a profit, and doing something like this, even though it is insanely hyped up and it's insanely popular, it's like a 50-50 chance that it'll make a significant profit, you know?
Right.
Well, it's different because, you know, on networks, you're doing advertising. Like, you're selling
exactly.
You know, advertising. So when you're making a film, it's a little bit different, I think, because, you know, you don't have to meet anyone's standards other than the studios.
They could make a pretty penny off of Veronica Mars movie merchandise. The only problem is they're giving away stuff right now with your donation.
It does seem like they're giving away like way more than what I would have imagined.
Yeah. The t-shirt that I mentioned, the exclusive t-shirt only available to Kickstarter. Well, okay.
And like signed posters and voicemails and stuff. That stuff's going to take some time.
Yeah. If I were them, I wouldn't be all too thrilled. I mean, this sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah, if I was the actors, I would be pissed because I'm basically going to be signing t-shirts and voicemails for like the next year and a half.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, it is still cool news. We'll see. I mean, this could potentially, like I said, set a precedent for the future.
I hope it does.
I think these smaller budget, you know, films and stuff that we're seeing. You know, I was watching an interview with Mark Wahlberg where he was talking about he was making films for a lot less money than what studios were doing it for, and he's producing them, and they're making, you know, they're only making $120 million at the box office, but they only spent $28 million to make them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of this we're shifting, you know, and I don't know why, but it seems like they're shifting to make, you know, spending a little bit less. And then whenever you make a decent amount, it's actually a lot because you didn't, you know, blow $150 million like they do on, you know, on Avengers or Iron Man, you know.
Selena, Josh, and I are going to continue with the news in just a moment. But first, it is time for me to tell you about Audible.com. It is the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers. For listeners of Hype, Audible is offering you a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their great, great, great service, especially now as spring is on the horizon. For some of us, it feels like summertime already. You want to be outside? Maybe you don't want to be reading a book. Maybe you just want to carry the book in your ears. As we all know, books can be addicting, just like podcasts. So combine the two, you have Audible. Listen to your favorite books, or listen to a new book that you can discover. My recommendation for you this week is The Host by Stephenie Meyer. Now, this is a timely recommendation because the book has been turned into a film, which comes out at the end of this month. The audiobook is narrated by Kat Redding. It's a good choice because now with the movie coming out, it's going to get even more popular, The Host. Stephenie Meyer has said she's going to be writing a second book. It's actually a second book in the Host series, and it's actually the book she's working on right now as we speak. You can get it for free through Audible, and the great thing about it is that the Host physical book, it's huge. So if you enjoy it by actually just listening to it, you're going to love it because you won't have to carry it around. All you need is your iPod or your iPhone or your Android device, or you can just listen to it on your computer. It's absolutely free. Go to audiblepodcast.com/hype. Get this great sci-fi novel. It was released a few years ago, and now it's being turned into a film. Like I said, Ms. Meyer is working on a sequel to The Host, I believe called The Seeker. It's still a long ways away from being published, but pretty exciting stuff. Get it for free. audiblepodcast.com/hype. Search for The Host. You'll get it for free. We thank Audible for their support of the show. Let's talk Harry Potter. J.K. Rowling said at a recent casual vacancy Q&A and signing, which our own Richard Reed went to, that she will not write a Harry Potter prequel, ever.
Sad face.
I know.
She said she was asked if she would return to the Harry Potter series. And she says she, of course, still isn't rolling it out. She's never, ever rolled it out. She just says she has no plans in the near future. But somehow it got on the topic of the Marauders. Would she write about the Marauders? And she said no because she doesn't like prequels. She doesn't find them to be any good. So
who was it? Someone on Twitter went, take that, Star Wars.
And this was a bit of a surprise because fans have really wanted – one of the ideas for future Harry Potter books would be to go backwards, to go to the Marauders because there's some – you would focus
there's a lot
on
of bullying to be seen.
Yeah, and there's a lot of focus on James, Lily, Sirius, and Pettigrew. There's a really great story there. So this was disappointing to a lot of people. Was it disappointing to
it
you
was
guys?
Do you want to say, Josh, what you thought?
I mean – I don't think I was disappointed. I feel like she's been vocal enough that I'm not expecting anything from her, you know, so I don't, whenever she says, whenever we confirm these things, I don't feel bad about it because I feel like she's told us, you know, as much as we love, you know, the writing and the films, it's like, we're not getting anything else. You know what I mean? We may get an encyclopedia someday, but I just don't think that, you know, I think she's told us enough times that we're not going to get anything, you know. So it doesn't make me feel bad. I mean, I'd wish I had more, but, you know, you can't feel that way all the time.
I was disappointed when I first heard it because I think, I mean, I always sort of wanted J.K. Rowling to go back to the Harry Potter universe, even though, like, we kind of knew that she wouldn't do it, you know. But I think once I started thinking about it, I was thinking about just how easy it is to be disappointed when you're really looking forward to stuff. And I think, you know, I mentioned this when the news first broke as well, that I think a lot of fans sort of really take a lot of pleasure in going back to this era that we sort of know how these people's stories ended, but we don't know how they got to this place. Like there's so much little details to fill out. And I was thinking, well, that's what fan fiction is for. And I know a lot of people sort of wrinkle their noses, but there are some extremely talented fan fiction writers out there. Like, I've never read personally any Marauders era fan fiction, but I know that there are some huge, really, really great stories out there. And this is the kind of stuff that people can do. This is where people can be inspired and let their imaginations run out. And I almost feel like sometimes filling in too many blanks almost takes the mystery out. You know, you think of, you look at the final season of Lost where they try to answer all the questions and you were like, I would have preferred just to keep the mysteries. Exactly. So thinking of it that way, like I am really disappointed, especially because I have absolutely no interest in Albus Severus and those people. Like I don't know. I wouldn't be that excited about a continuation, I think, that way. So
this didn't,
but you know,
this didn't disappoint me because I've always expected that the next story would be about the kids. I've never really envisioned the Marauder stuff. The Marauder stuff.
Would you like to see that, though?
I would like to see it, but the Marauder stuff I've always pictured in the encyclopedia.
Right.
Just a little more, maybe some little stories in the encyclopedia about that. At this point, it just seems like the most obvious thing she's going to do next in the Harry Potter world is the encyclopedia. Because she's always promised that to some extent. I just don't know how long she can wait. Like, why does she have to wait? I mean, there's been – when that whole court battle was happening over the Harry Potter lexicons encyclopedia, J.K. Rowling's publisher – it was either Scholastic or Bloomsbury. I assume it was Scholastic because it was in the U.S. They said that they had an encyclopedia all put together by their own editors. So there's something bare bones ready to go. J.K. Rowling would just have to throw new content into it.
I don't know if this is ever happening. Like, I really, really, really want it to be. And I know, you know, she's been talking about her plans for it with the whole like as it was real on one side and author notes on the other side, all of that stuff. But I mean, the longer time passes and with her saying stuff like, oh yeah, I don't want to go back to the Marauders era, et cetera. I don't know. It's seeming less and less likely, you know, she's busy writing fairy tales for children.
Yeah. She did reiterate that at the casual vacancy talk. She said that her next book will likely be the children's book. She said around the age of 8 years old, but then she also added she's not sure how to judge what age it's for. So for all we know, it could be another Harry Potter series.
It's between 6 and 28.
Yeah, somewhere around there. I just want from her is a new young adult series. Like, is that much
I
to
know.
Ask for?
Come on. I know. I mean, come on. Look at, like, Rick Riordan, who went from Percy Jackson to, like, some other myths. Like, she could totally do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Go from wizards to... And, like, what is it? Stephanie Meyer wants to write about mermaids? Come on.
Right.
She could do that.
Why can't our Joe...
Sorry.
Yeah. Team up with Stephanie Meyer.
Exactly.
Oh, God.
Write about mermaids together.
I would love that. I would die.
Me too. I would... Oh, my gosh. Could you imagine? Hot and high people forever.
We would have fan riots.
I would do anything for that. You know what we need, though, in seriousness? We need a big Harry Potter year. J.K. Rowling should release the new encyclopedia the same year that the theme park expansion opens in Orlando.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Remember when the theme park first opened? That was 2010. It was the year before the final Harry Potter movie was coming out. It was the year... When did Part 1 come out? Was that 2010? I think it was. Must have been. Because Deathly Hallows Part 2 was... Yeah, when was the release date? Yeah, November 19th, 2010. Yeah, so that same year, we had a movie and the theme park opening. That was fantastic. So she did encyclopedia and theme park in the same year. That would be a very cool year for Harry Potter fans.
And we need that. It's been so long.
I know. We need it. We need it.
Mm-hmm.
What's it been, a year and a half?
We're falling back on this Hunger Games
like
crap.
No,
it's 2 years,
aww.
I guess.
Someone dig us out.
Ouch.
No, I'm kidding. Speaking of the Hunger Games, last week, while I was away, I picked a good week to disappear.
You did.
Lionsgate released 10... gorgeous character portraits featuring a character from The Hunger Games Catching Fire. We had and a couple of these were released each day. On Monday we had Effie and Caesar. On Tuesday we had Haymitch, Cinna, and Katniss. On Wednesday we had BT and Joanna. On Thursday we had Peeta, Finnick, and Gale. And then finally on Friday we had only President Snow. Beautiful
Sonia was
portraits.
A trooper. She did all of these.
Yeah, she did a great job. She wrote up a little bio about each character as well.
Yep.
And Katniss is wearing her wedding dress, isn't she?
Right. The big deal about this was the big thing about her poster. Even though Lionsgate didn't bring attention to it, and I asked them, I emailed them, and I said, hey, can we confirm this is Katniss in her wedding dress? And they're like, yeah, you know, we don't want to draw attention to that.
Really?
Yeah.
Because there was a lot of controversy in the comments about it.
There was a lot of debate, right?
Yeah.
But then it sort of leaked out anyway. There was an interview with the wedding dress designer, and obviously it's the wedding dress. I mean, come on. There was no debate in my
opinion. The roses were another thing because everybody was trying to pick out, like, why were there white roses? And then they were thinking it was just the kids, and then it was – some random person had one, and they're like, it killed all the theories.
There were multiple cool things to point out in these. For one, Katniss and PETA, Katniss is standing up. PETA is sitting down. If you combine the two, which Josh so very kindly did for us, and you can check it
You're
out
welcome.
On Hypeable, it creates an absolutely beautiful portrait of the two together. And I assume they did that on purpose. Maybe we'll see a poster.
I don't know.
Well, maybe we'll see a poster in the future where
yeah, you're right.
They're actually combined. We'll see about that. But then another interesting thing was this was our first official look at Joanna.
Yep. Yes.
I think it was really.
It was not what I expected.
No? Do you not like Joanna's look?
I don't like her hair.
Oh, really?
I mean, it looks. I don't know. She looks really old. Don't you think? Like, not like the actress looks old, but she looks very sort of mature, in a way I wasn't expecting.
She looks wicked to me.
Yeah, she looks like a bad person.
Yeah, which I like.
She's kind of supposed to be, isn't she? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
but still, like, she's not a evil person. You know what I mean?
I think you need more mystery in these posters, and I think she holds a lot of mystery because we know all of these characters already, and really the only bad guy here is President Snow. So by adding her on, you add a little intrigue when you're looking at all these in the movie theaters and you're thinking, ooh, who was that?
Yeah, and looking at it now, she's almost like dropping her rose. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
It's kind of like a F you to the, I don't know, it seems weird.
Effie, I guess, was significant as well because all eyes are always on her outfits, and this was another winner. She is the Lady Gaga of the Capitol. She always surprises. Her gloves have, like, metal things on a couple of her fingers. Very interesting
designs.
She's
like Beyonce.
So those were that. Nothing else much to say about those. Comes out this November. I wonder what I wondered why Selena got quiet for a second, and then
Hamish doesn't look drunk. That's good.
Well, there's been interviews with Francis Lawrence saying I think they're going to explore his
sobriety,
his depression.
Oh, his post traumatic
post traumatic stress disorder. So we'll be learning about that as well.
Yep.
Let's move
in. That'll be cool. Sorry.
Yeah.
I just thought it.
Let's move into our news roll now. See, this is why you need your camera on, Selena. I need to see.
That I'm paying attention.
I need to see you. I need to bounce off of you.
Yes.
Let's move into our news roll now. We'll get through some other interesting news stories. Divergent has cast four people, actually, as of Thursday,
but not
March
14th. Ha ha ha.
Ha ha, yeah.
Ironically.
Since we've last spoken, they've cast four more people, but not the four everybody's looking for.
Four.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Number jokes.
So, Maggie
and
Q.
The puns keep coming.
Maggie Q will play the tattoo artist Tori. Zoe Kravitz.
Ooh, that's Nikita. That's very exciting.
Zoe Kravitz, daughter of Lenny Kravitz, known to Lionsgate movie viewers as Cinna in The Hunger Games. She will be playing Christina, Triss's friend. Ansel Elgort, perhaps the least known of these three, will play Caleb, Triss's brother. And, you know, I'm kind of bad at this whole look at an actor, make a decision on how great they are for the role.
Mm-hmm.
But naturally, commenters are fantastic at it. And everybody seems to be pretty happy with these three, right?
Yep.
I'm especially happy with Christina. I think she looks fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very much like, I mean, we all have different ideas in our heads when we read the books, but I look at this girl and I'm like, oh yeah, I see that. I see the Christina in her.
Yeah. I can see the Caleb in Ansel.
Yeah.
I think. I can picture her as Triss's little brother now that we know Shailene Woodley is playing Triss.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Big brother, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then just today, as we learned right before we started recording, Jai Courtney will be playing Eric in Divergent.
Not four.
Oh, yeah. So right before we were ready to record, and then this news broke, and then Selena was having basically panic attacks wondering who this actor was, because one report would not name the character. and she was scared.
Carrie 4.
They're not even lying. Like, I really freaked out.
She's still panicking.
Yeah, she had to calm down. She had to count her breaths. It was really dramatic.
I didn't realize how important the casting of 4 was to me until I saw that it might be this guy, and I was like, hell no.
Well, I agree with you. Jai Courtney does not look like somebody who could play 4. He is a bigger actor. He's more bulky. He looks pretty tall, too. I think he's 6 feet tall. He just would not be a 4.
Mm-hmm.
But like Eric, I can see it. He's going to be bullying 4. He's 4's elder. I like this a lot.
Do you think they're waiting to do, you know, to cast 4, or do you think they've cast 4 and they're just wanting to stretch out this, you know, the publicity on this?
You know,
because I feel like they're casting so many people. Like, we had 3 the other day, and now we have 1 today. It's like, I feel like they're wanting to, you know, stretch it out a bit.
Well, first of all, yeah, hopefully it would be cool if the next couple of weeks are filled with Divergent casting announcements.
Yeah.
That would make sense considering the movie starts filming in April. So they got to start soon. I would think they have to know who's playing 4, because I would think Eric and 4 would be screen tested together.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I think they're just holding out.
But at the same time,
somehow,
I'm surprised it hasn't leaked. So
I just really don't want to be disappointed, because I know that, like, when there was that Alexander Ludwig rumor, I was like, oh no. But my freak out was private.
Do you have anyone in mind, Selena?
This isn't like someone that I actually think will get cast, but when I was reading the book, I had the picture of the guy who plays Arthur in Merlin, who is Bradley James.
Yeah, Bradley
and
James.
He is, I mean, in my head, it just came to fit so perfectly, because he has exactly the right look, and he has that sense of being really tough, but also having that hidden, that hidden depth and that really hidden vulnerability. That's the word. I doubt that he would be cast. I mean, that would be so completely random in a sea of actors. Just pick out the one that I want.
Yeah.
But I just think it's most important that they find someone who can both be tough, but who you really like, because you need to like him, because otherwise the romance is not going to be believable at all.
Yeah. I just always find it interesting when people kind of inject their own ideas of who they think will, you know, be, or when they're reading, they find, you know, they're like, mm-hmm. Oh, I think this person will work. I've just never had that. Whenever I'm reading, I don't think about actors or actresses.
I don't usually.
So I'm always
either.
Interested when people say, "Oh, I thought they'd play," you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always fun.
But
I think it's neat.
Very, very wrong.
Andrew, do you ever pick out like actors or actresses whenever you're reading?
Not really, no. Because
I
hate putting that image into my head.
Yeah, usually see, I don't. I do too. It's just that this just happened. Maybe because I was like all about Merlin at the time.
Because you love Merlin.
But, right. I was doing Month of Merlin.
Maybe you should do the Kickstarter for Merlin.
Yeah.
I know. Can we please, everybody who's listening,
if they did it right now, they'd probably get $20 million.
I think they would.
Especially in the
U.S. Actors are all now like, oh, we need to move on from our projects and establish ourselves in different things. But look at Mars. They don't need to do that. Come on.
Until they don't get a job yet. Next.
Let's talk about the live-action Cinderella movie. Now, if you've been listening to me for a while, you know I have a hard time pronouncing things in general. How do you pronounce Cyrus Ronan?
Saoirse.
Saoirse.
Sasha? Saoirse Ronan?
Well, you're probably
Ronan?
Right.
I feel like it's something like that.
I have no idea. Anyway, she stars in The Host, which is going to be released at the end of this month. There's talk that she may be the front runner in the live action Cinderella for Disney. This news comes after last week we heard that Emma Watson was in early talks to take on the role of Cinderella, which I would have loved. However, Emma Watson's also attached to Guillermo del Toro's Beauty and the Beast. So it would be kind of weird if Emma Watson's taking on two Disney princesses so close together. But anyway, those talks with Watson fell apart. So what do you think of Ronan as Cinderella? I could see it. She has the looks for the pre-Cinderella transformation. I like it. Now, the source here is somewhat questionable. It was from When, which is trustworthy, but it's not a major source, so I don't know how serious to take this news, but I could see it, so.
I feel like it's not a role that she would pick, you know what I mean?
Maybe not.
Obviously, it's up to her.
I'm going to see the host tomorrow, so I will watch and picture her as Cinderella, see if I can see it. Smash was canceled by NBC. Moving on to other news.
Breaking news.
Well, it wasn't canceled exactly, but NBC surprisingly moved Smash, their musical drama, their serious glee, we could call it, to Saturdays, which effectively cancels it. That's a horrible time slot.
Yeah.
This after the ratings were really bad for the season 2 premiere. I mean, it really flopped, and it just hasn't gotten better. I think the most recent episode, there was a little uptick, but not enough to save it.
Hasn't it pretty much floundered since season 1? I mean, are we really that surprised by this?
Yeah.
No.
Even though it's sad.
No.
They wanted it to be the grown-up glee, and it didn't manage that.
Some people love it, though.
It's really good. I mean, I like it.
Yeah,
Who's the main actress? The girl from Idol.
Catherine McKee?
Yeah, I like her. Yeah. I like
McPhee.
Her a lot. But I never caught the show. I just didn't hear it was that great.
Yeah, I tried to. I mean, they made a big deal out of season 1, and they really pushed season 2 in terms of the promotional front, but. Maybe it was because it didn't air after The Voice, which has been NBC's real strong suit the past couple of years. But nonetheless, kind of sad news because people had a lot of faith in the show. It was produced by Steven Spielberg.
Yeah.
Which seems to, a lot of shows are being canceled by Steven Spielberg.
Right, going back to Terra Nova again.
Yeah,
maybe that was the problem. He's lost his luster.
He puts his name on it now, and then he runs away.
Yeah.
It's
really good, though.
We're just all over the place today, jumping back into the movie sphere. And Oz the Great and Powerful sequel is going to happen, Disney says. And this was before they revealed this, before the movie
This was Thursday.
Thursday before the movie was released.
Correct. But they were tracking for $80 million, and they hit $79 million for the weekend. So they pretty much nailed it.
Yeah.
Isn't that pretty crazy now that they track movies and that they literally nail them within, $1 million?
Yeah, they know how it's going to do.
Tracking is when they
survey interest in the movie.
Maybe they have their own little, wizard.
Well, I mean, it's just, technology is getting better and better and they know how to predict how well a film's going to do. But a side story related to Oz is that Oz the Great and Powerful is that it won't include Dorothy. Is this disappointing news?
Is she in the first one?
No. The prequel? No.
Oh. Well, I suppose I don't think that's disappointing because if they included Dorothy, then it would just be the story of the Wizard of Oz. It wouldn't actually be that's the same story all over again.
It would be her on the farm for like her
first
12 years of life. No, I mean, a lot of this is probably because, there was a lot of talk about how, they couldn't use Dorothy's ruby slippers and they couldn't use all these things because Warner Brothers owns the rights to the 1939 film, so there was a lot of creative and intellectual property that they just couldn't use. So I imagine keeping Dorothy out of the next one, gets them more creative room.
Did you see Oz yet, Josh?
Yes, I saw Oz.
What do you think?
I thought it was pretty good. There was a few actors and actresses that didn't do as well as I'd hoped. But you know what was really good? And I know people have said this before. The 3D was actually pretty good in Oz. And I'm not a great fan of 3D. But I really felt like Sam Raimi, the director, he really did a good job with making you feel like it wasn't like a the 3D wasn't a joke like you see in a lot of movies. Like it felt like I was in the environments.
I agree.
And I think that helped the story because I didn't feel like it was a great film, but I think the main thing was I felt like I was a part of it. And I think that made it better.
I agree. The 3D was great. I wasn't a big fan of the movie though. It kind of fell a little flat for me. I wasn't looking forward to it to begin with either.
And I wasn't either.
My expectations weren't high. And honestly, I don't know if I'm looking forward to a sequel. So I assume
I don't know where they go. So,
no, it's not out yet here. I'll get back to you in a few months.
you're going to talk to us in a few months. We're going to be like, Selena, the sequel just came out here.
Exactly.
It's going to be out next week. Well, Oz did actually go up in rating on Rotten Tomatoes. So it was at a 53, and it by now it's up to 62. So
okay.
I guess people, you know, that's people started enough. To like it later on.
Speaking of 3D, I heard there have been some screenings for Jurassic Park 3D. And I've heard the 3D, the guy who runs Slash Film, I believe he saw it earlier this week, and he said the 3D was really good in it. So now
I don't want this to be a thing.
No? What, 3D re-releases in general?
I don't like...
Yeah, I think this is a bad idea.
Not because I don't like the way they do it. It's just because when you watch a movie, like you make the 3D in your head, so when they do it for you... It just looks like a pop-up book, like no matter what, you know what I mean? Like, it's like reading a book. It's like you don't actually want the characters to jump out at you. You can see them in your mind. Like, I don't know. It just disturbs my brain.
Until they get it to where you don't have to wear glasses, I think that that's, you know, it's going to be a problem for a lot of people.
But it's never actually going to be... I think that's the problem, is it's never actually going to be in your face. It's always going to be contained within a box. So you're watching it in a box. It's like, you know, remember those little things that you used to put bugs in when you were a child? Like, it's just weird. Anyway, I'm sorry.
I mean, I don't remember those things. No, I'm kidding.
They have a big marketing team behind Jurassic Park 3D. At least I think so.
I know, I've
so.
Seen a lot of commercials, yeah.
Yeah, and I follow the Twitter and the Facebook, and they're like really into promoting it. So they're trying to make it a big deal. And I don't know, I'm kind of excited. I love Jurassic Park.
Oh, I love Jurassic Park. That was probably one of the first movies I saw like 5 or 6 times at the theater because it was so, you know, crazy.
Let's talk some music. Justin Timberlake, everybody's favorite boy band leader.
AKA Saturday Night Live's host every day.
Yeah, he did a great Saturday Night Live this past Saturday on NBC in the United States. And his new album, The 2020 Experience, comes out this Tuesday, I believe. Yeah, March 19th. But I love when artists do this. He released the entire album online for free through iTunes for streaming. So you can load up iTunes and stream the entire album for free, start to finish. I listened to at least half of it, and as some people said, it is baby-making music. It's very it's great. I mean, there's nothing on there I listen to. I'm like, oh, I'm going to be listening to this all the time. But the album on a whole, it's very smooth. It's a pleasant listening experience. It's nice to hear Timberlake
sensual.
Again. Yeah, it's sensual. It's sexy. I feel sexy when I listen. I mean, that it takes a lot for me to ever feel sexy. So for Justin Timberlake to do that, that is quite the accomplishment. Justin Timberlake's...
JT is not known for his sexuality.
No?
No, I'm kidding.
I smell sarcasm. I'm probably the only person who's listened to it in this group of three. I'm sure Tariq would have my back right now.
Sorry. I heard suit and tie. That was the only one I've heard.
Yeah. There's no songs on it, though, that are the level of, Got 5 Seconds to Save Her, or whatever that song is.
Yeah. So no big ones popped out at you, because like he had a few that were great the last couple albums.
Right, 4 minutes to Save the World, Justin Timberlake featuring Madonna. Madonna featuring Justin Timberlake. I miss that. Bring back that JT. Yeah. And then also,
he's talented. That guy's incredible. Yeah,
he
not with just music. I mean, even some of his films have been great lately.
Yeah.
What is going on?
It's just weird. You know what I mean? Usually it doesn't happen.
Right. An artist to go from boy band to this level of success. There's always, I guess there's, well, not always one, but like Backstreet Boys, they didn't really have a breakout star following the breakup of the band, even though they all got together again. But like Beyonce, you know, Destiny's Child, she broke out and was the...
Take that and Robbie Williams.
But even like, you know, even Beyonce, you know, I know she was in a film or two maybe, but Justin Timberlake's in real movies. You know what I mean? He's like in...
Like The Social Network.
Yeah, I mean, he's an actor. He's a real actor. And I'm not saying Beyonce isn't, you know. I'm just saying when I watch Justin Timberlake in a film now, I don't see Justin Timberlake. You know what I mean? I see him as the character he's playing. And I think that's, a tough feat for someone like him, especially starting from NSYNC and, you know, moving to his own, you know, being by himself.
Moving on, Benedict Cumberbatch. Cumberbatch?
Yes.
Cumberbatch? Cumberbatch?
Yes.
Cumberbatch. Cumber, whichever way you want.
Oh.
He has confirmed that Sherlock Series 4 is going to happen. Now, this news was just before they started working on Series 3. They're actually going to start filming this Monday. But this past Monday, there was a table read, and it was the first time, as far as we know, that Benedict and Martin Freeman, who plays Watson, have been reunited for Sherlock since Series 2. So it was very exciting to see a picture of them working on the show.
With grapes?
Yeah, and we're excited that we know there's going to be a Series 4 after Series 3. We weren't sure of that until Benedict said it earlier this week.
So did Freeman lie to you whenever he said he didn't know how Sherlock survived the fall? Because he's obviously read the script by now if they're filming soon.
Well, I mean, I talked to him back, I don't know, 2 weeks ago
now. I love
ago
that
now.
You could just say that. Like, oh, yeah, I
spoke
talked to
with
Martin
Mr. Freeman.
Freeman.
He's just, we were out for a few beers.
Yeah, right. We met at a bar. He, it was about 2 weeks ago.
As his publicist rushed me out of the door.
we spoke 2 weeks ago. I believe that he hadn't read the script yet.
No, he seemed genuine. Either he's a really good actor or he was lying to you.
Yeah.
No,
he's not going to tell you. I mean, that would
yeah,
be
I know he wasn't going to tell me, but we're debating whether or not he was lying or not.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, he could have been, you know, he could have said, well, I just don't know, you know.
I
believed him. You know, when I saw the interview, I believed him.
Maybe it's self-preservation, because if people know that he know, they will, like, come after him.
Probably.
Tell us.
Yeah, you may be right.
Torture it out of him.
They have 40 Andrews running after him.
With grapes.
Let's talk a little video game news. I'm a big fan of games like The Sims and SimCity and Mario
For
and
obvious
Zelda.
Reasons.
Right,
name.
I invented those. People ask me, did you invent The Sims? My answer is yes, of course.
Yes, of course.
Why, yes.
So there's a very highly anticipated game, SimCity. There hasn't been a new SimCity for like 8 or 9 years. This one, before launch, it had been getting fantastic reviews from critics. It seems like Maxis really did a great job. And then the game launched, and it was a disaster. They didn't have enough servers to support the game because the game has to always be connected to the internet. And for some reason, they didn't anticipate the amount of server load they were going to be experiencing. And the game was basically inoperable for most people. And they seem to be okay. It seems to be okay now. But it was a mess for the first 5 days or so. And it was just a disappointment. I don't know if you guys ever play any simulation games like The Sims or SimCity.
Yeah, I have. Yeah, but it's always a shame whenever a game's released and, you know, there's server problems and it kind of kills the excitement for the game.
Yeah, I mean, they put all this work into it and then all anybody can talk about is the fact that they can't get into it.
Yeah, it's a bunch of negativity and it's like you've built it up, you know what I mean, and then it turns into not a flop because the game's not a flop. It's just that no one can connect.
Are you going to purchase SimCity?
Honestly, no. I haven't been playing, you know, I've played Sims before. I just haven't played many games in a while.
I don't play games either. I mean, my life's a game, which is why I don't really need more games. But yeah. I love SimCity. So.
I see you running on the street and, like, pushing up your hand and, like, raking coins out of...
Doot, doot.
Exactly. That's your life.
Yeah.
There's a great GIF on this article, the SimCity article.
Oh, really? Did Anna put a GIF on it? I don't think I scrolled down. Let me look here. Oh, yeah. That's really funny. SimCity, I'm excited, though. It's just not available for Mac yet, so I'm waiting for it to come to Mac. It's supposed to be this spring. That's what they say. So I'll wait for that, and then I definitely will purchase.
Maybe it'll come out when Oz comes out first.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
One more movie story here. Skyfall director Sam Mendes says he won't direct the next James Bond film. Is this worrying? I mean, it is to me. I love Skyfall.
I'm surprised. I mean, because of how big of a film it was, you know, it's just, you would think that they'd want to lock him up, you know, for at least another one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
and I'm surprised because,
million.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I'm surprised because it seems like the next film would follow on from Skyfall pretty closely, you know, similar to Quantum Solace followed on from, what was it called?
Casino
the one
Royale.
Before that. Casino Royale, exactly. Because they introduce some huge things in Skyfall that they're, you know, probably gonna follow up in. So it's a bit of a shame, but I'm sure they'll find someone really good.
Let's hope so. I know Daniel Craig has signed on for another 2 films, mm-hmm. right?
Correct.
Sam Mendes says, it has been a very difficult decision not to accept Michael and Barbara's very generous offer to direct the next Bond movie. Directing Skyfall was one of the best experiences of my professional life, but I have theater and other commitments, including productions of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and King Lear. They need my complete focus. So yeah, jumping back to what you said, Josh, I'm surprised they didn't lock him down to begin with.
Yeah, it sounds like he wants to go make $20,000 on theater instead of $40 million on the next Bond film. But maybe it's a you know, personal choice. Maybe it really is, you know what I mean? Because they'd obviously throw a lot of money at him to come back.
And right, he said very generous offer.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it seems like he's being honest here, because that just seems like a something they would do easily.
I guess on the other hand, though, it's good for him, because does he really want all that pressure to live up to Skyfall? I mean, that sounds like a lot of
pressure.
You're
right. There's another side to the coin where you're like, oh, the last one made $1 billion. There's no way I'm making it again.
Yeah.
You know?
And like Casino Royale was fantastic, but then Quantum of Solace sucked.
Yeah. And neither, I don't think, came close to what Skyfall made.
No.
So maybe not even together.
Yeah. Let's jump into our calendar segment. We'll talk about a couple things coming up. First of all, for everybody who loves Harry Potter fandom and Team Star Kid fandom, A Very Potter Senior Year will finally premiere on March 15th. That's tomorrow on YouTube, faux free.
Yay!
The announcement was made kind of quietly. They just updated their YouTube banner, Star Kid did. It was like, hey, it's coming March 15th. It's a big deal. I mean, it debuted live at LeakyCon this past summer.
Right. Some of us have already seen it, so.
Did you see it?
I did see it.
Yeah, okay. Selena saw it.
I stood in line. Do you remember? I was like, I was like, yeah, you remember. You were there, Josh.
No, I remember you talking about it.
Right. I was insistent that I would get to see it while I was there, because I enjoy the Potter musicals, and even if I meant I had to stand in line for like half a day, I was like, well, I'm here, I might as well. So yes, none of you guys went with me.
I didn't.
We have like a massive article on it. Was that you who wrote that, Selena?
No, it was Natalie. She went.
Oh, Natalie, yeah.
She didn't sit with me, though.
Well, that was nice of her.
I know.
I'm sure not by
her.
Purpose.
I don't know who that
no,
is.
No.
Well, when that was going on, first of all, it was like 5 hours long, right? It was just really delayed.
Yes,
it was
so long.
But walking around that hotel and Chicago in general, man, was it quiet during those 5 hours. I loved it.
I can imagine.
It was so peaceful everywhere in the hotel.
It was really, really, really long. I mean, it was good. Like, you guys will see it soon, so you can see. I mean, even though they had scripts, and even though, I mean, there was some flubbing of lines, that was to be expected. And I think just knowing how much they put into this, both the script and the actors, and just knowing how much they really do love the series, and they poke fun out of love, I think it was a really, really great experience. And I'm glad that it's finally becoming available, because gosh, you guys have had to wait a long time.
And if you do like Team Star Kid, which I know a lot of people do, be sure to check out Hypeable, because we will have the video, but we're also going to have some interviews with some of the Star
Yay!
Kids themselves in celebration of A Very Potter Senior Year. Natalie has been conducting those over the past day. Speaking of interviews, The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey comes out on DVD and Blu-ray this Tuesday. This past Tuesday, it was made available for digital download. I had the opportunity to talk to Martin Friedman, as we mentioned earlier in this podcast. It was really great. It was a big step for Hypeable, A, because Martin Friedman is so big right now, and B, it was our first video one-on-one in this type of professional environment, shall we say?
Yeah.
Just this type of interview, I mean, it was new for us. It was really exciting. We're hoping to do more of them. It's so great. Like, you just sit down, they do all the camera stuff. I was literally just halfway out of my seat, and they handed me these little memory cards with the with a video on it. I mean, and then I just have to go home and do a quick edit on it.
Wow.
It was great.
Yeah. Did they do something like, did they like do your hair or like do like
oh,
put
yes.
stuff on you?
No, they didn't, but I had my personal makeup assistant there with
me. Ah, okay,
of course. No makeup on me. But why do you say that? Do you think I look beautiful?
You did look beautiful. I was just curious. I was wondering if they, it's like someone came in to interview and they looked like completely like a mess. Like, what would they do?
What would they do? That's a good question. Well, I guess they figure since you know going into this it's going to be videos, you better clean yourself up for it.
Still, oh, you so that must have been such an amazing experience because
it was
he
really
seems
cool.
like such a great guy.
I have to say it was nerve wracking because we because it was my first time doing it in that type of environment. But there was actually a funny moment in the middle. I edited it out where my mic died, and like so Martin and I were talking, and then like in the background we hear all this shuffling, and then. I think Martin pauses to look what's going on because it was really loud, and then they're like, "Oh yeah, Andrew's mic died." I'm like, I sit down.
Perfect timing.
Yeah, and then I actually we did this little joking. I was thinking of putting it up on YouTube. I'm not sure if it's really worth it though. Like Martin like looks at me and he's like, "Well, my mic is fine." And I was like, "I know. I just sat down 3 minutes. You've been going at this for like 2 hours, and I sit down for 3 minutes and mine's dead." It was kind of funny,
but awkward. Yeah,
it wasn't too awkward. It was just, you know, little area.
Yeah, I guess it's not your problem.
Right,
it's not my fault. Yeah. And the studio does these, right? So, like, you've got professionals.
You know, it happens. This stuff's battery powered, so.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Anyway, it was just a fun little moment.
No, well, you did a great job with that, and I told you that before, but I thought that was so great.
I'm glad you think so. And now that I'm more comfortable with these, I can't wait to do these in the future because I am going to have a lot of fun with them. So.
And you get to meet awesome people like Martin Freeman.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's coming out this Tuesday. I did a review. It's great. There aren't many special features on it. The only good thing is that you get to have a live look at The Desolation of Smaug, the second Hobbit movie, on March 24th or something 24th. Like that.
Yeah.
But I feel like this – I don't know how well sales are going to do because people are going to look forward to the extended edition, which is supposed to be out at the end of this year. And or the box set after all three of these movies come out. So is it really worth buying this when you'll just want the extended edition later?
Yeah, I was a huge fan of the Lord of the Rings series, and I bought the you know the DVDs when they came out. But the extra features that that Peter Jackson puts into these you know extended editions and whatnot are just so impressive that I won't buy the single DVDs just because I know how impressive the box sets will be. He's probably the best director in terms of putting extra stuff behind the scenes. I mean, they're really good with that stuff, and we saw that with his he would always post the Facebook. You know, where they would show them filming behind the scenes even before the movie came out, you know, so they're in tune with their fans.
Not only the extended versions of the movies makes you feel like you're watching a completely different and much better movie, at least for The Lord of the Rings, but also, I mean, I remember whenever The Lord of the Rings movies came out, I was like 12, 13, I would just put on the extended DVDs and just watch them. Like all the way through all the bonus material because I have an interest in all of that stuff, like how they made it. And these people were just so, first of all, it was super interesting, but these people were also just really good at presenting what they did in a way that made you feel like you were watching something worth watching. You know, it wasn't just like, oh, let's throw in some, this is how we did this foam head. Like,
I don't know who does these things, but they should win an award for directing. I don't know what you call it because it's just so good. You know, usually behind the scenes stuff, it's like kind of really choppy and like you don't, you know, sometimes it's like, I don't really care about that. But it's almost like a whole movie. You know, like I remember just
watching, like you said,
I watched every one of those probably more than I watched the movies themselves once I had the DVDs.
It's just the problem is that like they're cool, but you can watch them online for free, so you don't really need to buy the.
But there'll be more stuff, though.
There'll be more. Actually. There was like 9 hours of extra.
Yeah, there's a lot of extra material. So we sat around for.
You're talking about The Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
No, Hobbit. I mean,
the Hobbit's going to be the same thing. I mean, he's.
Oh, you mean eventually?
Yeah. Eventually,
okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about the behind the scenes things that have already been available. There's like.
Oh no!
Oh, okay. Never mind.
For that. Lord of the Rings, they had like 9 hours of extra, not extra footage of the film, but extra, you know, behind the scenes stuff.
Okay.
And I imagine that, you know, Peter Jackson still has the same team working on the same, you know, behind the scenes stuff.
Weta and all this.
Yeah, Weta's
when I was younger, it was like my dream to work for Weta.
Oh, I know.
I didn't even know what I wanted to do. I just wanted to work for them. Like,
I just wanted to fly there and just like, you know, try to get, do anything with the film, you know.
Yes, me too. We should do that.
Yeah.
In related news, DVD Blu-ray news, Breaking Dawn Part 1 Extended and Breaking Dawn Part 2 were released. And I know you guys aren't big Twilight fans, but, you know, I used to do imprint. I have to remind myself about
the Twilight.
Fandom. Okay,
yeah.
Good.
It's not bad. I'd like to see the fight scene again. I only saw it once.
Yeah, so Breaking Dawn Part 1 Extended Edition, Summit did this screening thing a couple weeks ago, and I went to it. And it was good in that you can't really tell which scenes were added, which I think is a good thing because they just fit so seamlessly with the existing plot line. There's an additional 8 minutes of footage, I believe. And so
that's not a lot.
It's not a lot. No, I
you see Lord of the Rings did what, like 30 minutes,
Lena? Lord of the Rings is just so good, guys.
Sorry. Yeah, it's just
But it's true. Amazing.
The Hobbit Part 1 apparently is going to have an extra like 20 minutes of footage.
Yeah. He's known for this stuff and it'll be great.
Right, but it's just funny and just like with Breaking Dawn, it's just funny that they have extended editions when they split the book in the first place.
Yeah.
I know that is actually really funny, but then that's the same with The Hobbit though, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, The Hobbit, though, it's like there's going to be what? Almost like 50 minutes of additional footage, 50 to 60 minutes after all three are released.
All three.
That's almost the fourth movie.
Yep.
I know, for like a tiny little book. But we like the story, so it's worth it, you know?
Right.
And that's the whole point. If you like the story enough, you want to see it expanded.
So that's it for now. And I mean, that's it. That is the Twilight Saga. Now all the DVDs are out. Presumably,
now
they will...
it's time for Midnight Sun. Oh,
I know.
No.
Presumably, there will be a box set out later this year, and maybe they'll finally release deleted scenes from other movies. They've never actually done that for a Twilight movie before. Maybe with Twilight, but they've been holding a lot of stuff for a complete box set. So we'll get to see that all maybe later this year. Selena, tell us about Game of Thrones. I put this in our calendar segment because the first episode just premiered. It's hit... School of Thrones, sorry. It reached 1 million views, actually, on the first episode because it went kind of viral online.
It did go viral. I mean, we did our little review of it on Sunday when it went live. And then, you know, I checked Twitter and it's like the official Game of Thrones Twitter has tweeted about it. Entertainment Weekly tweeted about it. All these people. I'm like, fine, whatever. Just let me do my own little review over here. But no, it's this web series that we've talked about before in Hype by some of the people involved with the Harry Potter musical and also Lizzie Bennet Diaries, who are basically taking the Game of Thrones characters and putting them into a modern-day high school setting. And the first episode premiered on Sunday, and there will be another episode next Sunday. And it was just really fun to see how the houses are cliques and the characters, you know, the Stark characters are hipsters and Danny is this weird art kid who likes dragons and the Greyjoys are water polo players. And it's a great idea. And it has really high production value. Like you'll actually want to sit down and watch it.
That's good.
And I mean, the episodes are super short. The first one was 5 minutes long. That's very web series standard.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, I mean, they have gotten so much success from this. I am very excited to see where they take this and where they can potentially go with it.
Web series are really something. They're getting more and more popular. And I mean,
they are.
A spinoff of a very popular television show was a great idea.
Oh yeah. I'm surprised, to be honest, that they are getting away with it, if you know what I mean.
It's like, kind of a unique one to pick too, you know what I mean? It's like not one I would think would be made,
right? Big.
It's popular. I'm just saying it seems like because of the, you know, just the content of that, I wouldn't think it would translate well to like a, you know, a YouTube.
I think that's why it works, you know, because they've done such a great job of saying, well, these characters in a completely different setting are still the same characters and they still do the same things, just backstabbing in high school as opposed to backstabbing in a medieval kingdom. But I mean,
has anyone's head been cut off yet?
Not yet, but the season's still young. But it's great that to see that also that the official Game of Thrones Twitter and our publicity people seem to be in favor of it and aren't sort of causing trouble because
did they
promote
criticism
that might have been. Yeah, they did.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, they tweeted about it, right?
Mm-hmm. And it also helps. They obviously timed this for the season 3 premiere of Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. Everybody's talking about it right now as it is. So,
yes, it's premiering in 2 weeks. So maybe we'll get another episode out before. I'm not sure.
That is awesome.
What's interesting is this whole, you know, it just feels like more fan, you know, intermingling, you know, with the videos and stuff. You know, like we had the Kickstarter thing on Veronica Mars.
Yeah.
And we had these, you know, it feels like fans are getting more and more involved with the production of things. You know, it's interesting.
Which makes me super excited because fans have sort of been like traditionally more of people that, oh, well, they kind of weird, but we have to cater to them. But these days it seems like they're really stepping up and saying, look, we know these stories. We like these stories. We're talented people who spend a lot of time engaging. Let us prove to you, world, that we can do all this stuff. And
I think it's really great. I think they were shunned away at first. And now it's like, you know, it's almost like it's a great thing. You know, they're more accepting now than ever.
It's time for a hype worthy. This is where we make a recommendation. Each of the hosts makes a recommendation, something we think should check out. Don't worry, I just came up with my
we'll
idea as well. I'll go first.
Okay.
House of Cards, the new Netflix original series. It's only available through Netflix, I believe, at the beginning of February. They released all 13 episodes at once. And this is kind of a, you know, Netflix is trying to create more original series, and this is easily their most successful one to date. It stars Kevin Spacey in the lead role. It is set in Washington, D.C., and just shows you it's fictional, the inside manipulation and politics of everything within the House of Representatives, within Congress, even up to the president. Kevin Spacey's character, Frank, is it follows him. It breaks the fourth wall. He will turn to the camera and fill you in on something every once in a while. And at first, that kind of idea sounds weird, but it works really well. He pulled it off really well. And it's such a treat whenever he turns to you and starts talking to you. and so the series is really good. I'm a little more than halfway through it right now. So I recommend that if you do have Netflix. I actually canceled Netflix a while ago. I resubscribed just to watch this, and I'm probably just going to cancel again once it's over.
Did you get your free month?
Exactly. Well, no. I unfortunately, I've already used that up, so I didn't have to actually pay for this month. But, I mean, the thing is, they released all the 13 episodes at once, so you just spend a week watching
Kevin Spacey. He's the lead?
Yeah. I've loved him as an actor, and I mean,
I did too. Yeah.
So that was part of the reason I wanted to check this out. So do check it out. Again, it's called House of Cards. It's actually based on a British series of the same name. I'm not sure how good that version of it is, though. Who's next?
I'll go next.
Okay.
Bond's not exactly original, but on a more personal note, I'm having foot surgery tomorrow, and I'm going to be off my feet for 2 to 3 weeks, and I decided to finally catch up on The Walking Dead.
Oh.
And so I was trying to figure out, you know, do I want to buy the series and just, because everyone I talk to, like my brothers, you know, my family, everyone loves The Walking Dead, and I've never watched an episode. So I looked around, and speaking of Netflix, they have the first 2 seasons on, on Netflix. And so I was like, well, I'll just, you know, next 2-3 weeks, I can't walk. So I'll just catch up, you know, on Walking Dead. So if you're like me and everybody around you loves The Walking Dead and you have no idea about it, they have the first 2 seasons on Netflix. And I think the finale for season 3 is March 31st. So my goal is to catch up to everyone else by the time the premiere or the finale, rather.
It's ridiculously graphic, but it is very good. Like, I need to sort of – I watch it in installments, and I sort of need to take a break, and I'm like, I feel sick, but it's so good.
I'm just tired of being heckled for not knowing anything about it, so it's just time to catch up. So I thought I'd suggest to anybody else who gets heckled by their family and friends to check it out.
It's kind of funny that you're going to be watching The Walking Dead when you can't walk.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was ironic. Thinking that. Yeah.
That's wonderful timing. But yeah, Walking Dead, obviously a great show. We're in the middle of the third season right now. I think we have a few more episodes.
Yeah, I think we're three more episodes, yeah.
Oh, three, huh? Yeah. Some people aren't big fans of where The Walking Dead has been going this season, but I've actually liked it. It involves Andrea at the center of a lot of it. I think her name is produced Andrea in the show. Andrea kind of has taken on a lead role that most people didn't expect and don't really want, but by the end of the season, that should all be resolved. How about you,
Yeah,
Selena?
The show's still doing well.
Yeah, yeah. 12.
Yeah. 3 million fans, I think, or watchers.
It's got like at least 10 million per episode. How about you, Selena? Wrap us up.
All right. Well, I'm going to recommend a trailer, which was just released, I think, yesterday for a new NBC series called Hannibal, which stars, here's my connection, it stars Danish actor Mads Mikkelsen, who Bond fans might know as the villain of, I forgot the name of the same movie twice, the one before Quantum of Solace.
Casino Royale.
Right. He was the villain in that. He's going to be playing Hannibal Lecter. Then we've also got Hugh Dancy, you know, he's great, as a special agent Will Graham, who's going to be kind of like his friend slash mortal enemy. If people don't know the story of Hannibal Lecter, he's of course the mass murderer who wears the skin on himself, I believe. Or is he? No, wait, he's a cannibal, isn't he? Hannibal the cannibal. That's the whole point of his name.
Correct.
And there's been a lot of, I mean, Silence of the Lambs is probably the thing that people think of most often when they think of Hannibal Lecter. The show was created by Brian Fuller, who people might remember from Heroes, Pushing Daisies, Dead Like Me. He's a big sort of TV producer, and it looks terrifying. I mean, this is going to be on NBC, so we're not talking Walking Dead levels of gore, but it's going to be a psychologically really upsetting show, I think on par with stuff like American Horror Story. It's very in right now to freak people out, and this trailer does, so check it out if you're into that kind of stuff.
Okay. Where can we find that? Is it on Hypeable?
No, it's on YouTube.
Okay.
YouTube, yeah. I've seen it.
Very good. And a couple plugs. This is actually something I haven't talked about much yet here on Hype. I do another show. Personally speaking, my podcasting prospects long term are this show, Hype, and then Hype After Dark. This is a show I've actually been doing for a while, but it used to be called Hype, and then we shifted the names around. Go to hypepodcast.com. Now, here's the shocker. It does cost $3.99 a month, but you get 4 episodes a month, contest every month. We do some video stuff every once in a while. And it's me and my friend Mason, and it's kind of an extension of this podcast. But not only do we talk about entertainment, but we talk about world news. We talk about personal stuff going on in our lives in like a fun format. It's not like all emo and crap. So check it out. Go to hypepodcast.com. You can see a couple audio samples.
All emo and crap.
It's not like this show.
No, right? God.
Yeah, this show's crap. That's what I'm saying. No, that's not what I meant.
Totally emo.
You can go to hypepodcast.com. There's a couple samples there. We're going to be adding more samples as time goes on. $3.99 a month, 4 episodes a month. You can listen to it just like you do this podcast, and I hope you do check it out. What else should we plug in terms of podcasts?
Rewatchable.
Yeah, Rewatchable. That's a new show we're doing. Tell us about it.
Exactly.
Selena.
I will tell you about it. This is something we've talked about doing stuff like this, something like this for months, and finally in February we finally got it all together and recorded our first intro episode for this new podcast. This is a long-term project that we have all embarked on together, all of the Hypeable staff members, where we'll be going back and rewatching classic / cult TV shows. The first show we're doing is Firefly, which imagine how we're kicking ourselves that we didn't pick Veronica Mars, but we'll probably end up doing that next, actually, even though people have been clamoring for Buffy and Lost, and we'll get to all of those in like 3 years or whatever when we finish with these shows. But so we've started watching Firefly. The team consists of a mix of hosts that have seen the show before and hosts that have never seen the show before, which is great because it means it's spoiler-free. It's spoiler-free for people who haven't seen it before, who can watch along with our newbies, who are Kristen and Tariq. And then for people who know the show, they can still listen and sort of get the little inside jokes that the rest of us will be throwing in there, trying not to spoil our newbie friends. So that's really exciting. And then by the time we finish with Firefly, we'll start with another show, and there might be a slightly different group of hosts depending on who wants to be involved and who's seen it and who hasn't and all that. It's fun. I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, it's a great idea. And what I like about it is how interactive it is by doing it as a podcast. So I'm a fan.
Yeah. And you can follow us on Twitter at re_watchable. Sadly, that other one was taken already. So
that's okay. And yeah, we have a variety of podcasts on Hypeable covering.
We do, like topics, 20.
So we won't bore everybody with. Well, we're putting a ban on new podcasts. Did I put that in the group yet? I'm serious. There's too many shows. We are done for now. It just gets a little too crazy.
Don't worry, between Hype and Rewatchable, I mean, we've pretty much got everything covered.
Yeah. Well, let's just cancel them all then, except for those two.
No!
Selena is a part of like 8 of them.
I am. Yeah. I was thinking my babies.
What would Selena do all day without all these podcasts?
I know. Gosh.
She wouldn't talk to anybody.
No, you are a podcasting superstar and a news superstar. And Josh is a viral superstar and a soon-to-be podcasting superstar.
Yeah, yeah.
We're all superstars.
And I'm just a superstar all around.
Yeah, you got to talk to Martin Freeman. So you went up this last week.
Yeah. It's amazing how many people come in out of the woodwork when I posted that interview. I've had like three or four long lost friends who are like,
oh
my God,
really?
Dude. No, not like hang out, but they're just like, hey, dude, that's so cool. Like people I haven't talked to in a while.
That's nice.
So yeah, it's nice. It's nice. Finally, they're taking me seriously. They thought Hypable was a joke. Now that they see Martin Freeman, they're like, oh, maybe he's serious about this.
Well, I think he's really, you know, like I told you, I think he's, you know, at a great part in his career where people are, you know, really liking his work, you know.
He is, definitely. So visit Hypable.com. You can find all of the episodes of Hype and all the other podcasts that we do. And, of course, the site is updated every day with the latest news, like the things we have talked about. We have an easy access link to Hype right at the top in the nav bar there. You can just click to get the latest episode. And you can also discuss the latest episode with fellow listeners. And every once in a while, we'll be discussing some of the feedback that you guys leave. We're taking your feedback into consideration. I know people have asked for timestamps in the episode, so you can skip to different segments. Now, while that is a good idea, it would take a lot more on the post-production side to organize that. And B, we're trying to do this show so we don't spend too much time on a particular subject. So, you know, we talked about Twilight earlier. Maybe you don't like Twilight, but we're only talking about it for a couple minutes. So this is like a television show. You tune in, and not everything you personally love is going to be discussed, but we're not spending much time on it.
Yeah, and you know, it's one of the good things about Hype, hopefully, is that people can listen to it and feel like they're on top of all the latest entertainment news. And even if it's stuff that they wouldn't seek out news about, it's still good to just be aware of what's happening in that fandom so you can, like, talk to your friends and you can be all knowledgeable. And the Walking Dead Season 3 finale is really huge.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though you've never seen
it. Like a reflection of Hypable itself, you know.
Right.
There was tons of shows I'd never watched, you know, before, you know, I started reading Hypable. So I think it's good to hear about things that you don't exactly know about. You know, you never know what you're like.
Yeah, it opens your
mind
up.
We don't even know about everything.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And I think going forward, and we've been trying to do this, and we'll continue to try to make sure when we are talking about something, you will know what we're talking about, even if you don't watch it. So
yes,
we'll throw
in
little
facts. Be lost.
Yeah, we'll offer some context. That's always been a priority on all of the shows that I do, at least. And that's why this stands out from like the Glee show, because you really have to be up on Glee, for example, and rightfully so, because it's all about Glee. Presumably you're all caught up and whatnot. Anyway, that's what we're trying to do here. It is a work in progress. Continue to leave your feedback and we'll continue to read it and digest it and make the show as good as it can be. Thanks, everybody, for listening. I'm Andrew Sims.
I'm Selena Wilkin.
And I'm Josh Neely.
See everybody next time for episode Quattro. That means four. Goodbye.
Well done. Four. Bye.
Maybe we'll have four by four. Episode four.
Oh, my God.
Four.
Perfect. Yes. Someone reach out to the studio.
Hype four will be called four.
Okay.